Hey everybody, welcome into the Jayhawk Talk podcast. Andrew, I got a question for you up top.
Tell me.
Do you have your ugly sweater ready for the Montana game?
Oh, I do have my ugly sweater ready. Let me go get it.
Okay, go get it. I'll be right here.
Yeah, you just, hey, for the folks at home, just listen to Kevin. He'll get you through this little part. I've got to go get my sweater.
All right, go get your sweater. I'll keep going. So if you don't know, the Montana game coming up here, KU is attempting to break the, what is it, the Guinness Book of World Records for the most ugly sweaters in one place. And
I'm back.
Where's your sweater?
I don't see it. It's in my hand.
Oh, okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah, let me see. What is it? Okay, I'm looking at the sweater. It appears to be, is that Hotline Bling? Is that Drake doing the Hotline Bling as a Christmas sweater?
Indeed it is.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
How much was that?
Etsy. I don't want to tell you how much it was.
I don't think you want to.
Well,
that's,
and we had our Christmas party on Friday, and it did not come in until Saturday. Oh, like the one time I would ever wear a Drake Hotline Bling Christmas sweater, it doesn't come in at the right time. And it's a Drake song, so it's going to be like fleeting. No one's going to remember it in 2 months. So this is what it is. It's got Drake dancing in his different little poses up top with a cell phone ringing, and then a big Drake in the middle.
That's crazy.
Dancing.
You're killing me. And you're not killing me at the same time. That's amazing. I'm a little jealous.
So, yeah.
You know,
that's my Christmas sweater.
We're in the spirit here on the Jayhawk Talk podcast this week. We did have the Jayhawk Talk Christmas party. Earlier this week, we had some pretty intense white elephant gift exchanges going on. The best white elephant gift of the night, you and I had a little contest deciding which one was better. I think you won.
I think I did win.
I think you won.
I knew my audience, and I delivered. I had this, but it came in the smallest package. It was a tiny, what'd you say, 1.5 by 1.5 by 1.5 package.
Yes.
Just a little guy. And inside that little package was a Lego figurine designed to look like Andrew Wiggins in a KU jersey.
It was pretty amazing.
Just a little Lego guy.
That one made the rounds a lot. That got stolen quite a few times. I did not end up with it. I think Nick ended up with it, the jerk.
Yes,
anyway, that's too bad. At least it'll be in a good home. But Andrew, let's talk about a few things in the podcast this week. One of the things that we do want to show you, do a little rundown here. We're going to talk about all the storylines for the week and Oregon State and Holy Cross and all that stuff. But we're also, Andrew, going to give a little, I don't know how you want to say this, a little holiday gift giving guide for that special Jayhawk out there. If you're kind of on the fence on what to get that special Jayhawk, we've got some gift ideas for you. I think you're going to like some of them. So
we only got a couple more weeks, or 2 more weeks, less than that, until Christmas. 10 days, basically, if you're listening to this tomorrow, which most of you probably will. So last minute people, got to get some KU gifts for some people. We've got you covered.
We've got you covered. Andrew, let's talk about some of the storylines from this week. Let's start with the Holy Cross game. That was, what was it, last, got it, when, it seems like forever ago.
Last Wednesday.
We won 92-59. Brandon Green returned a game early. Were you surprised to see the suspension lowered from 6 to 5 games?
I was surprised to see it. I think that tells us for sure that it was a Bill Self discretionary suspension and not a automatic, this thing happens and therefore you're suspended 6 games. So
right.
I think it was just a Bill Self was mad, and then he could decide when he comes back whenever he wanted to. Let him come back a game early and scored 14 points, 3 of 4 from 3, 5 of 6 from the field. Missed his first shot of the season from the field.
It's insane.
Looked like he couldn't miss anything. It was ridiculous. So Brandon Green certainly was the star of that game off the bench. Moving on to this past Saturday, Oregon State, we won 82-67. This big second half by the Jayhawks outscored the Beavers 54-28 after trailing at the half by 11. Quite the game, Kevin.
Yes, it was. You and I were both there. I was a little closer to the action than you were, I think.
I was in the top.
I was about 6 feet from Miles Simon, if you want to know where I was. By the way, during the game, Miles Simon spends most of the game on his phone. So he like checks Twitter throughout the entire game. He's kind of like me during the podcast. Like I'm not really paying attention to anything. I'm kind of talking, and then I just look at my phone the whole time. That is what Miles does.
You don't listen
does.
To what I have to say?
No, you know, I'm listening. I'm sort of...
You drift in and out.
Yes, yes I okay. definitely do that. It was pretty interesting. We got some courtside seats, fun game, certainly in that second half. Let's talk a little bit about the game and in more of kind of a storyline form instead of kind of going through stats and stuff. But I guess the big thing is kind of quietly, Graham and Mason have been absolutely incredible. And I kind of wanted to touch on this a little bit. You know, we talked a little bit about the two guys, you know, having two point guards on the floor at the same time. What was that going to look like? Was the game going to be sped up a little bit more? Was Frank going to be able to shoot it a little bit more, kind of being an off guard? And how is that going to all work out? So far, the early returns are pretty good. I just want to show you a few numbers here, Andrew. From assist to turnover ratio, Mason has 50 assists and 13 turnovers, and Graham has 34 assists and only 6 turnovers on the season. So that's an insane combination of 84 and 19 between the two of them. I don't know that there's like a better kind of 1-2 point guard type punch, certainly in the Big 12 and maybe in the country. I mean, these guys are playing really well. You heard a lot of early in the season, people were mad at Graham for shooting the ball a lot. You kind of hear that, seeing people talk about it on Twitter like Graham.
Yeah, I think I was one of those too.
Well, he's averaging 41% from three, so he's still a quality three-point shooter on the team. Mason's at 43%, so he's right there too. Of course, between 41 and 43% on this team, that's actually below the team average, but still pretty amazing. Now, I will agree with you that they're missing a lot of two-pointers, and that's kind of been their problems, both of them, getting to the rim and just not hitting it, but... you have seen a little bit more of those two driving to pass, which I think will really open up the game if they both start doing that. Either way, they're taking care of the ball. And, Andrew, another kind of thing that goes under the radar, Mason has 18 steals and Graham has 20 steals on the season. That's more than two a game. So they're, between the two of them, they're bringing in 4 steals a game, giving you those possessions. They are playing so well together, and I'm really excited for them this year. And then even next year, I mean, that's going to be a fun little combo to watch for a couple of years.
You know, I didn't initially like that lineup. Just as a from taking a step back, looking at it from, you know, just a conceptual point of view, it makes us shorter. We have less offensive on the floor when you have two point guards like that. Takes away rebounding. You know, just, you know, I thought it would have been better to have, you know, Devontae come off the bench to relieve Frank Mason. You know, just from a pure point guard point of view. But I was completely wrong. Both these guys are bringing tons of offense. It's better to have two point guards on the floor because our ball movement is incredible this year with swinging the ball from side to side, getting post entries. I don't think I'd have it any other way now. Like, this is the way we need to play. These are the guys who are going to play 1 and 2. Whether Frank's the point guard, whether Devontae's the point guard, it doesn't really matter. This team kind of has hinged on them playing well and them, you know, getting the ball where it needs to go. These two guys have got their spots in the starting lineup locked in. The rest of the guys, not so much, but these two guys are concrete where they need to be.
Completely agree, and I'm very excited to see how they continue to do the rest of the season since this is still pretty early on and they're kind of working out some things between the two of them, especially figuring out who's going to be on the court with them, Andrew. It's been a little funky watching this lineup construction happen before our eyes. You know, in that second half of the Oregon State game, we only had six guys play. There was Hunter started the second half like he started the first half, and he played a long time. And then they brought in Bragg for Hunter, and he played several minutes. And then they brought Hunter back in, and it was just those two. There's one sub, the only time, or there's only one reserve player in the entire second half. And, you know, Self kept, I guess, supposedly asking him, you guys okay? You guys still feeling good? You guys, you know, got energy? And they kept saying, yeah, coach, we want to go back in. We want to go back in. And could you blame him for not bringing in other guys? I mean, they were playing amazing in that second half.
Yeah, and Bill Self said, you know, first half was the worst we played this year, and the second half was the best we've played. And they only played six guys that second half, and he's saying that's the best they've played. You know, traditionally, Bill Self plays with an eight-man rotation. And that's been that way. You can look it up, and that's what he's done in the past. At times, he's played with a shorter bench. You know, in that 2012 runner-up year, you had Connor Tian coming off the bench, and that's it. Justin Wesley coming in for a few minutes here and there. So he's played with a shorter bench, but we legitimately got 11 guys competing for minutes. And honestly, we've got 12 guys, if you include Gerald Vick, you know, competing for real minutes. I'm not sure if you include him as a guy who's, you know, probably going to get in there. But you have 11 guys who certainly have a shot to get in that lineup, you know, if they perform. And maybe it's starting to clear up, but I'm not so sure.
Well, I could tell you this. We've seen that Hunter and Bragg have made the most of their minutes. I think you can make that argument pretty clearly. They've played well when they've played. Obviously, it is a matchup thing. Bragg might have games where he just from a defensive standpoint can't hang. But those two have played really, really well, and both have been really efficient as well. You'd like to see a little bit more rebounding from both of them. Hunter's been okay. But yeah, I mean, those two have played really well, and they're going to play. I mean, I think we can pretty much establish that. What's kind of a question mark is when you're looking down the lineup now, so Jamari and Landon Lucas might be the two next question marks, and they've been a little bit banged up, which has been, you know, kind of been an opportunity for the other two to jump in and play some minutes and really give an audition. And I just don't know if they're going to, I think both of them might kind of be the odd man out this year. I think Hunter's proved that he needs minutes, and I think Bragg's proved that he needs minutes. And we haven't even talked about Diallo yet. So that's kind of the big question mark. What are your thoughts on Diallo, you know, so far? What do we know? And, you know, two out of the last three games, Andrew, he's only played 7 minutes between Harvard and now with Oregon State. 7 minutes for, you know, the prized recruit. What do you think?
You know, this concern of yours will be addressed later on in the Andrew's Deep Dive segment, which we're bringing back for week number two. I'm not too worried about it. I think he's going to get his minutes towards the end of the year. He's just got to be brought along, be integrated into the offense, learn how to play defense the way Bill Self wants him to play defense. I'm not too worried about it. He may have a couple games like this, you know, going forward where he doesn't play that much, but I think towards the end of the year, middle Big 12, I think he's going to be getting, you know, 20, 25, 30 minutes a game. I really
don't. We thought the same thing about Cliff Alexander too, though. And we thought the same thing about Josh Selby too, though. And guys, you know, like freshmen that, you know, were highly touted and then just for whatever reason couldn't crack the code with Bill Self and were coming off the bench. Is he going to be coming off the bench the entire season?
For every Selby, for every Alexander, you've got a Andrew Wiggins or a Wayne Seldon or a Xavier Henry their freshman year. Where they're playing 30 minutes a game.
So which one is Diallo? That's what I'm asking.
Well, we don't even know yet. He's played four games. And we knew he was raw from the beginning. So it's gonna take him a little bit longer than someone who's a ready made product like Xavier Henry or Andrew.
Fair enough. Well, another guy that I think we ought to talk about a little bit is Fee. You know, he's a darling of the Jayhawk Talk podcast, and I want to love Sviatoslav. I want to love him, but he's not been playing very well, man. He really hasn't. With Brannon out those games, I mean, he really had an opportunity to come in and establish himself as the guard, first guard that needs to come off the bench, and maybe even push for even, you know, pretty expanded minutes. He has not done that at all. Which,
and I think it
sucks.
It's mostly happened on the defensive end. He doesn't know how to play help side at all. He does an okay job staying in front of his guy, but the rest of his defensive game is lacking. He doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, the perfect example is Gary Payton dunking over the back of him.
Yeah.
In the Oregon State game. Like, he didn't know where to be. He didn't know where the ball was. Yeah. And that's a problem. So, Svi getting 6 minutes. And then, you know, Brandon getting 7 minutes this past game, going 0-for-1. Not really doing anything. You know, I don't know what was going on with him in that game. He just didn't look like he was there to play basketball.
Yeah.
So he wasn't getting down in defensive stances. I don't know what was going on.
I'll be honest, though. Like, so I was right there, obviously right next to the court. So you kind of see expressions, and you see a little bit more when you're sitting there than you do even on TV or you know, obviously from farther up in the stands. And I was really watching Brandon in the first half. And he came in, like, he was jacked at the check-in, like, when he was checking in. He was jacked on the bench. So he was jacked getting into the game. And fired, like, literally fired up, like, to play. You could tell he was really excited. He was trying to bring, kind of create his own energy, which was something not many other people in the first half were doing. He was, like, patting people on the back. Like, everyone was talking about, you know, Brandon's body language and all that. Brandon's got terrible body language. He was fired up in that first half, but he didn't do anything. Like, he had a stupid foul. He did whatever he did where they had to go to the video board, which was stupid. It happened right in front of us. There was nothing there. But like all of that, to say, like, he tried to bring it a little bit. I think he was really, like, trying to be, you know, bring the energy. Cause Self probably told him, hey, Brandon, if you're going to play, you got to bring the defense, you know, bring energy on defense and make some shots. And he tried, but it didn't work. And he wasn't guarding very well. So I don't know. I don't know what to think of him. I just hope he finds a way to get on the court, because there's no one else in basketball that can make threes like him, man. There's nobody. He is so sick out there. And he's the most efficient shot on the basketball team. Just give it to Brandon. Let him shoot six times a game. Give him six threes a game, no matter what. Even if he just comes in and shoots six in the first possession, he gets the ball, shoots a three. Gets the ball, shoots a three. Gets the ball, shoots a three, and checks out. Like, those three shots were better than any shot we could have got. I mean, by the numbers, look at it. Anybody, like, any metric, those three shots, no matter where they were on the court, as long as they were three-pointer, that was the best shot you could have taken. So I just want to, I want to see it, man.
So what's his role on this team going forward? Do you come in, play 14 minutes a game, try to shoot up some three-pointers?
Yeah.
You get a guy going to compete for minutes at three. Instant offense?
Yep. Instant offense. If we're behind, he's coming in, he's playing, shooting threes. I don't care what his defense is, because it literally doesn't matter. Like, he could play 4-on-5, and if he's making shots like he is, he's still worth playing. I mean, that's just the reality. Now, obviously, he's going to cool down. He's missed one shot this year. That's insane. The numbers
he's missed
are
two.
Not,
he's missed two. He missed
I'm
one.
Sorry, two, whatever. Yeah, there you go. But still, I mean, he's got to play. He's got to play. So we'll see. You know, it was kind of funny sitting next to the court. We literally were right across from Self. I mean, I was kind of dead even with the KU bench, kind of at the 3-point line. And it was pretty quiet in there. It's kind of unlike Allen Fieldhouse, where, you know, the crowd does get excited. You can hear it and kind of over, you know, it'll be louder than the coaches are being. But most of the game, you can hear the coaches yelling, especially where we were. And he kept getting pretty, I mean, he was fired up in the first half. It was a disaster. I didn't know what you texted me about this watch or something. I didn't realize that he had broken his watch being all excited, but he was not a happy camper. And it was funny because I was watching his reactions when they were making shots, and they were making all those crazy threes that were just dropping, even the ones that were contested. And his reaction was basically the same as mine. Every time they'd make a three, he'd throw his hands up in the air and go, bullshit. Like, especially if it was a contested three or like the bank in three, that was his reaction to every 3-pointer. It's like, bullshit. And I can get on board with that. I agree with them. And then, my favorite quote though, and let me make sure I have it right, but he was yelling.
You wrote this down. Is this that important that you wrote it down?
I think I did. I'll see if I can find it, but he yelled at the ref, something like, what was it? You need to grow a set of balls and blow your fur, blow the, something about growing a set of balls that was audible all the way across the floor to the ref who was all the way on the other side. And my wife was like, did he just say he needs to grow a set of balls? I was like, I think he did. And blow your whistle. So I thought that was kind of funny. So anyway, there you go.
I like it. Yeah. Well, if you can get away with that, maybe he's
That wasn't a technical. I know the ref could hear him because I could hear him from all the way across the floor. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, let's talk about this watch.
Okay.
So you didn't see this. And I didn't know it either because I was up in the boonies. But I saw it on Twitter, and then I saw the replay on Twitter, the Vine on Twitter. He smacked his wrist real hard with his fist, kind of just, you know, getting frustrated. And I think he popped the band off, and he had to take his watch off. So I was thinking, is this a good idea that we should do as a Jayhawk Talk family a GoFundMe account to buy Bill Self a new watch? Maybe a Nikon, maybe one Timex. Of those ones that has the calculator on it so he can tabulate the minutes, you know, and if it's
for Diallo and Brandon Green.
Yeah. So I think that we should put together a little GoFundMe account.
Okay.
And get Bill Self a watch for Christmas. We can send it to the athletic department. I think that'd be nice. I mean, spread holiday cheer, right?
I think that's a good idea too. So I personally will do this. If you think this is something we ought to do, if you think we can reach our dollar amount of what, $22 for a Casio calculator watch.
Well, I mean, let's get him a rubber band, like, you know, with a rubber band, you know, just don't go fancy here.
No.
He just needs to be able to tell time. And if we can find a calculator one, I think that'd be good too.
Okay. All right. Well, let's work on this after the podcast. You and I will try to settle if we can do this. And it will be interesting to see if anybody will give to it. I will give a few dollars to this. I think you would too, but you know, how's that work? If it doesn't make to the pound, like the amount, does it just not happen?
I don't know.
We're gonna have to figure this out. All right. Andrew, what do you say we do a little water cooler conversation? And this will be of course a nice little lead in to I'm not going to do the regular water cooler conversation because I've got a better little music for us as we get into the holiday spirit here for a moment. There we go. There's some nice holiday music to take in. Andrew, what are your holiday gifts that you could get for that special Jayhawk in your list?
Well, I think the first thing that every good KU fan should have is a subscription to KenPom.
Okay.
Are you a subscriber to KenPom?
I'm not.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's a gift I can give you. That's a good subscription to KenPom. It gives you all the statistics you need to know. Gives you breakdowns. Gives you predictions. Once you get it and you have the full access to it, it's kind of addicting. So KenPom.com. Get the subscription. Not just like without the subscription, you just get the ranking. But with the subscription, you get everything. It's actually incredible. So I think it's $20 for the season, $20 for a year. I think it's well worth it.
Okay. That's a pretty serious gift, Andrew. I think one that many people will like.
Here's not a serious one, but an even better one.
Okay.
I'm going to show you here. This
That's a Jayhawk.
It's a Jayhawk pillow pet.
Oh.
That I just got as a gift. But it's actually not the pillow pet brand.
That's a knockoff pillow pet?
No.
It is a nice
Popple.
Popple.
Popple. It's okay, so the regular Jayhawk pillow pet is creepy. Okay?
That one's cute. That's a cute little Jayhawk.
This is a better one. Okay, now check this out. Hold on, I'm gonna show you. So the regular one's creepy, this one's not creepy. So it's got a zipper on the back, and you zip it, and you can flip it inside out.
What?
Yeah, dude.
Oh my gosh, it turns into a little basketball.
So do this one, the Popple one, not pillow the pet one.
Yeah, get the Popple for
the other
your...
one's creepy. This one.
This is like a nice gift for like a young person too, like a 30 year old man. I'm a little jealous of it, honestly. I need one of those. That's pretty sweet. Okay, do you want me to give you one of mine? Because most of mine are more.
I've got one more.
Okay.
I don't know what you have. I think you're going to go off the deep end here.
Mine are a little less serious, but also just like as important.
Okay. Well, okay. So I would also suggest anything done by the 47 brand. You can get that at Kansas Sampler.
Sampy.
Or as we call it, Sampy. Anything but hats, shirts, sweatshirts. Just look for the 47 brand. I think that that's what KU fans need. And I think that the serious KU fans do enjoy that brand.
It does 47 look like brand. You're wearing a 47 brand sweatshirt right now.
I think I am.
How about that?
So there you go.
See a 47 brand product from anywhere.
Okay, so tell me what you got. I'm a little apprehensive here.
So you asked me what I would like from, like, if I was a Jayhawk fan, and you texted me this, and so I was on my way home just thinking about it, and the first thing that just popped into my head was a framed vinyl of Redhead's Bitch, I'm Frank Mason. So
I wonder if he pressed any vinyl.
I don't know, but I
or
would
take
that.
Or if it's just
that.
A YouTube.
If you could figure out a way to make a vinyl of Bitch, I'm Frank Mason and frame it for me, that would be on my list.
Well, that's a good gift. If you can, like, that's a great gift for
right?
any Jayhawk fan. Yeah.
See, aren't I coming up with some? Or here's another one. I would like you could do a donation in my name. This is more of a gift giving for, you know, for charity. The donation in my name to kick Julian Wright off Twitter campaign.
Oh, man, he needs to not be on Twitter anymore.
Just a donation in my name, just doing everybody a solid, kicking Julian Wright.
I think
Wright
I unfollowed him, so I don't know what's going on with him lately.
It's pretty bad. If you're not sure what we're talking about, I guess if you're feeling like it, go see what Julian Wright's been up to on Twitter.
Last time he will come up in this podcast.
It's pretty brutal. Really? You got a Julian Wright nugget lately?
I got a deep dive.
Okay. Here's another one. I would like a pizza box signed by Joe Dooley.
Oh.
If you can frame it, that'd be cool too. But just like, even if it was just like a used pizza box, like
Jared's
that would
got
be
one.
Cool too. He
Doesn't
does?
He? Yeah, I think Jared does have one.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, Stat Boy from for people from the podcast who listen to it episode 1, 2, and 3. Stat Boy, I think, has one of those.
Okay.
Johnny's pizza box.
That's I don't care what kind of pizza it is. All right, here's another one. Bottle service at the Cave with the Morris twins. Can you just arrange that for me?
Well, you probably need to get like bring a bunch of bail money.
Well, yeah, that's part of the experience. I would like an iPhone application that just plays Bob Davis isms like over and over, like a little soundboard.
Like a soundboard? Oh, we can probably put that together.
Yeah, like that's an easy one. Let's see. I would like a framed picture of a peridunk. If you could find one of those that has happened, like frame a picture of a peridunk and put it in there and just put it, I'll put it in my office because I love peridunks. Lego Wiggins would be on the list.
Yeah, you didn't win that though. Yeah, Lego Wiggins, you didn't win. You and your wife conspired to try to get that in.
We did. It did not happen.
Not happen.
I would like a Ma'am, I'm Hunter Mickelson EP by any country music star.
Well, we're kind of in charge of doing that, so that's not the obligation is not on them. It's on us to do that.
Is it? Okay. We're going to have to work on that. Maybe over Christmas break, I'll spend some time in the studio. And then last, Andrew, you know, I'd like a winning football team for Christmas. Can we have one of those?
Santa doesn't work that kind of miracle.
No? Okay. All right. Well, anyway, thank you for listening to my Christmas list. If you can, you guys out there in the podcast world, if you can give me all of those items for my Christmas, I will be a happy, happy boy. Andrew, let's go into your deep dive here. I don't have a drop for this yet, so we're just going to do like a Andrew's deep dive.
Dun,
you
dun,
like
dun,
that?
Dun,
there you go.
Dun,
there we
dun,
go.
Dun, dun. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about Bill Self and a little bit about freshmen. As we know, and as you've mentioned, Diallo played 7 minutes against Oregon State, 7 minutes against Harvard in the middle game there, played 18 against Holy Cross. He's averaging 12 minutes a game, but he's only played 4. Kevin, earlier you said you've got this weird worry about recruits and freshmen. Can you explain what's going on? Just like give me your
I've had this
elevator elevator pitch worry.
I've said this on the podcast many times, but I always get concerned when Bill Self recruits a high-level player, brings him in, and he doesn't play him. And then there's a knock against Bill Self in Kansas about don't go to Kansas because you were a lottery pick when you came in there, and now you're not because you didn't get to play, and blah, 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 blah. And that dialogue has gone on basically every year. Bill Self is recruited high-level talent, and that knock, that I'm not just making it up, that's out there. Coaches use that against Bill Self all the time on the recruiting front. It is what it is. And he's doing nothing so far with Diallo to disprove that, and that scares me. That's my...
Okay, I hear you. So this deep dive goes into the top 15 from the class of 2015 and how many minutes of the game they're playing so far this year. It also goes to the KU's past top 15 freshmen and looks at the minutes they played.
Okay,
so just I'm not going to go through everybody, but Ben Simmons, number one player, averages 35 minutes a game for LSU, probably because he has to, also because he's amazing.
He's really good.
And that they don't have any other good players, and so he has to play. Doesn't look like they're going to make the tournament, so, you know, take that for what it's worth. Couple other guys to point out. Scal Labissiere, playing 21.6 minutes a game. Brandon Ingram from Duke, 26.9. Jaylen Brown from Cal, 24.3. So those are the top four guys, and this is all based on the 24/7 consensus rankings. Check was number five on that. He's averaging 12. That's through four games. A couple other high notes and low notes. Diamond Stone's 18.2. Chase Jeter from Duke's 8.1. And then you've got Jamal Murray from Kentucky, also on the high end, 32.9. So, you know, a lot of these top 15 guys are getting minutes. If you were to guess the average of those top 15 guys a game, what would you say that number would be?
15.
It's 25.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So among those top 25 guys, they're averaging 25.3 minutes a game. So check Diallo. He's averaging 12, which is half the average. That's only through four games. And we know that, you know, he's got, you know, to work through some things. He's a little bit of a more raw player than someone like Ben Simmons. So among the top 15, he's the second playing the second least minutes behind Chase Jeter from Duke. So let's go back and look at other freshmen who are top 15 players. Kelly Oubre averaged 21. So towards the beginning of the year, did not average 21, was barely getting off the bench. But, you know, closed the year averaging 21 minutes, respectable. Cliff Alexander, you know, similar situation. He ended up the season with 17.6. But you could argue that if he kept playing, that number would have gone up. And just to go back through a couple others, Andrew Wiggins, 32.8. Wayne Seldon, 29.2. Xavier Henry, 27.5. Brandon Rush, 31.7. So there's some high guys there. So
yeah,
since Bill Self was there, and this is starting with David Pageant as a top 15 player and going through the last year, so not counting Diallo, what do you think the average of those players, those 12 top 15 players, what do you think the average minutes among those players are?
25.
24.
Okay.
So Bill Self's top 15 players compared to the top 15 players this year is only 1 minute shorter. So I'm not too concerned. And that's not including guys like Perry Ellis, Macklemore, and other guys. You know, those guys played tons of minutes. And Macklemore averaged 32 minutes. Giddens, remember Giddens? Jared, I just wanted to say Jared Giddens. he averaged 25.9. I mean, I'm not too worried about it. So in terms of, you know, Bill Self, from the time he started Kansas, top 15 players, he's just about at average of what those top 15 players are going to play. It just so happens that the past couple have been on the lower end, but we've had a lot of guys on the higher end. So I'm not too worried about it. If they're going to use that as a recruiting tool against us, you know, it's not necessarily true.
Fair enough. Well, at the same time, you can look at what have you done for me lately? Andrew Wiggins was Andrew Wiggins, which is great. You know, you can make the case that Embiid came in and did his thing, and that's a nice little thing for KU, even though he hasn't obviously done anything in the NBA yet. But Cliff Alexander, before the season, was a lottery pick. After the season, didn't get drafted. Diallo, I guess we'll see. I mean, that's the kind of stuff. What have you done for me lately? Now, obviously, I think those rankings are a bunch of BS most of the time. They're out there to be out there because someone's got to do it, but we'll see. I hope Diallo ends up playing 25 minutes a game or more, like you mentioned. I don't know that he will throughout the season. Maybe at the end he'll be playing more, but I just want him to be a constant contributor on this team. I think he will, and we shall see. And if he's playing that many minutes, he'll probably get drafted in the lottery because he's got that much upside.
Yeah, and, you know, also, he's going to struggle to get minutes anyway, no matter what his talent level is, just because of the depth. I mean, there's six guys with minutes to go around. You get the luxury of, you know, getting to rest guys, getting to play guys in different types of spots. So it's going to be lower, you know, no matter what his skill level is.
Yeah, but I don't know. You bring in, if he can't play over Landon Lucas and Jamari Traylor, and I don't know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. If he can't get minutes over those three, Hunter Mickelson, if he can't get minutes over those guys, then there's a problem because he's much, you know, he's got the tools to be much better than them. Now, he may not put it together. He just may not this year, and it is what it is. So we shall see. I hope he does. That would be amazing because I do think he is a piece to really get us over the edge if he is a constant contributor down the line. Nice deep dive, Andrew. Two deep dives in a row. Let's move on from the deep dive and do a little Big 12 whip around.
Y'all ready for this? Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
How about playing a little defense? You ever heard of that one, Stan?
BCS.
Dollar signs.
Andrew, let's start with the Big 12 kind of game that people were talking about the most this week, and that would be Iowa State versus Iowa. Iowa was winning pretty handedly, and Iowa State came back late, ended up winning the game in the last minute, kind of took over. And then who would have thought that Iowa State would storm the court and led to what's his name from the Des Moines Register breaking his leg, like the whole thing. The beat writer for Iowa State. And then, of course, brought on the annual question, should court storming be banned? What can we do about it? Let's start with this. Of course, Iowa State's ranked in the top five, Iowa unranked, and they rushed the court on that. Let's start there. What are your thoughts on that court storming?
Well, I understand it's a big game. You know, I think that Iowa's pretty good. I think KenPom, they're ranked 13 or 14. You know, they're not ranked in the national polls, but, you know, they're still a pretty good team. I think we'll be there and be strong in the Big Ten this year. Probably not top four, but, you know, hovering middle, and maybe we'll make the tournament. But then again, they're not ranked. I don't know. It's not a good look, right? To do it against an unranked team?
It's not a good look.
I don't know.
I think that's the right way to put it.
Let's just get this out of the way. You're coming from a biased perspective here. We both are. And that we have been a part of storming the field in football for
It's a totally different sport. Totally different to rush onto a field versus a court. I think they're very different.
The rules situations are still the same, though. I think the rules can still be the same.
That's fine.
And that I've been a part of things that maybe I haven't been proud of, in terms of storming the field against teams that probably don't deserve it. But, you know, it was Missouri, or it was Nebraska, or it was, you know,
Nebraska deserved it.
The big
Iowa State did not deserve it.
Big momentous occasions, but this was like, yeah, it wasn't probably deserved.
No.
But, you know, then again, I don't have a problem with it.
I think there needs to be a czar. If you're looking for one, I'll be the czar. That gets to decide toward the end of every game whether rushing the court is allowed or not. Can we just decide that?
So how many do you think should actually happen a year? Just based on how things normally go, like in the Big 12.
whenever KU loses on the road,
okay,
that will probably happen, unless it's to Oklahoma or Iowa State, because that will be a close enough game. In fact, they might even be favored in that game. The home team might.
Probably will. No, definitely will this year.
Whenever you're favored, you definitely should never rush the court. Never, ever, ever. Iowa State was favored by like 12 points in that game. So that's rule number one. Never rush when you're favored. Number two, if you're ranked higher than them, you shouldn't rush the court either. Ever, 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 ever. Doesn't matter what happened. Now, there are some little things, Andrew, like some last second shots that really kind of bring in the energy of I got to get on the court type of thing. On those type of situations, we might give you the benefit of the doubt, but not if those other two things apply, your favored or your ranked higher. I think you need to be like at least a 10 point underdog, and they need to be ranked higher, and they need to be a name program. It has to be a Duke. It has to be a KU. It has to be a Kentucky. It has to be somebody who's really, really good. Because if Iowa State goes down to K-State and K-State beats them, are they going to rush the court? No. They're not going to rush the court for Iowa State. First of all, there's not going to be anyone there to rush it. Let's just get that out of the way. But they're not going to rush the court for Iowa State because they don't give a crap about Iowa State. I mean, they'll be excited they won, but they're not going to rush the court for that. But if they beat KU, you better damn bet they're going to be rushing the court. And so that's the other thing. It kind of depends who it is, and you got to be a pretty legit underdog. Do you agree with those rules? Is that fine?
I do agree. Yeah, I do agree. I think that that's fair. I don't think that this Iowa State one should have happened. I was actually surprised that it did. I thought that they kind of had gotten to a spot where they didn't need to do that. But anyway, it was a great game. I watched the whole thing. It was pretty interesting to see that amazing comeback. I've got a couple other Big 12 questions for you. Let's talk about OU real quick. They are currently undefeated. They beat Villanova by 23. I think that leads us to the big question. What should Ryan Spangler's next tattoo be?
Ooh, that's a good one.
The question on everyone's mind.
I don't know. Do you have anything?
I don't.
A lot of tattoos, right? Like several.
Yeah, on his arm, like they're pretty visible.
Like the first thing that came to mind is a lion, but then that's kind of
Royce White.
That's a Royce thing. And I didn't really like Royce.
He had great tattoos. Maybe, his tattoos were great.
He had great tattoos.
He had probably the strongest tattoo game.
Yeah, no doubt. Let me think about Spangler. We'll get something by the end of the podcast.
I've got one more for you, or a couple more. K-State. K-State is currently 7-2.
Mm-hmm.
Just lost to Texas A&M. But I've kind of noticed that K-State fans are perking up a little bit on this season. I think they had completely checked out before the year. Completely checked out. But they're starting to poke their head out a little bit. Will this kind of be a real season for K-State, or are they going to win 5 games in the Big 12?
I don't know. And this has been kind of a – I don't know. I still obviously they played North Carolina close, which was surprising. And, you know, they won at Georgia, which is something. But I don't know. I need to see a little more, but I'm kind of with you. It is interesting, at least. They don't really have much less or much more on their non-con schedule. They should win a couple games still. So that first test is going to be right at the beginning of the year. The first game is against West Virginia, and then they go at Texas, at Oklahoma. So those 3 games to start. If they win, I think, let's just say one of those games, if they win 1 out of 3, that's probably a good start. I mean, those are really tough games. And then they've got a few more that they can win, but I don't know if they come somehow start like 2-2 or 3-2. I think that would be a really good start and much better than we were expecting. Much better.
All right. One more question. This is about Oklahoma State. This will probably be the only time we talk about Oklahoma State for an extended period of time this year.
Yes.
Phil Forte has injured his wrist and is possibly considering getting a medical red shirt, which means he'd be around for next
19 year. More years, it seems like. Right.
What are your thoughts on this possibility?
At least we'll know who to give the annoying white guy award to next year, because if he's gone, it might be tough.
I think that'll be the fourth or fifth straight year that he's gotten it.
I don't know. I think Heslip won it 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah. That used to be a battle.
Yeah. Heslip wasn't there.
We don't know who Keaton. Else to give it to. Oh, Keaton Page.
Keaton.
Well, it's named the Keaton Page Annoying White Guy Award.
True. Oklahoma State actually had one good win in the non-con, which is something. They won at Minnesota, which, I don't know. That's something. I don't know what Minnesota's like this year. I haven't really paid attention. I don't think they're very good. Looks like they're 5-5, so maybe not a great win, but still a win. They're not very good this year, Oklahoma State. I think they're going to be kind of a pushover in the league, and I think Travis Ford is counting his days. We'll see. But they play Longwood this week, so we'll get to see.
That's fun.
How Longwood, how that matchup goes. We'll be sure to report back on the Longwood game next week. Do you have any other questions about the Big 12? I've followed fairly closely the Big 12 and the non-con, and honestly, they've showed pretty well, I think. Don't you?
Anybody impressive that you didn't think would be impressive?
Well, you Texas. And I kind of...
What do you think about the Texas-North Carolina game?
I thought that was a great win. I've always kind of wondered all season long why North Carolina has been ranked as high as they were. I think they were buying in a little too much, but we've talked about this. Texas is going to win some games this year that they shouldn't, because they have guys. They've got really good pieces. They've got the same amount of top 100 recruits as Kansas does on the roster. They're going to come out and win some games, and I think they'll win some games in the Big 12 that they shouldn't too. And that was a really big win for them. And honestly, for the Big 12 too, it looks good. Oklahoma and Iowa State are both undefeated, 7-0 and 9-0. I think Oklahoma has looked better than Iowa State has. We've talked about this a little bit, thinking that Oklahoma might be a tougher out than Iowa State. They won that game against Villanova, who was ranked in the top 10 or 12 or something. They beat them by what, like 23 points or something, 22 points?
Yep.
Just a stomping. And so they look pretty good. West Virginia's 8-1, Baylor's 7-1, Texas Tech 6-1. And we kind of laugh about Texas Tech, but talking to my boy Brian Haney, he said that the Red Raiders are actually not terrible this year, and that honestly, next year they're going to be pretty good. He even went so far as to say he thinks they'll be a tournament team next year or the year after, based on that recruiting class that he brought in, that Tubby brought in last year, those four freshmen who all kind of played roles and have really kind of grown up. So we'll see there. They might win some games this year. You never know.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I'm looking at Texas Tech right now. Looks like a lot of sophomores.
Yeah, it's that big recruiting class.
Devonta Williams is a senior. He looks to be the best player on the team. But interesting in the Big 12. Let's not do a power ranking for this week, but I think the next week we'll need to do a full Big 12 preview.
Yes.
Along with our Big 12 awards.
Yes.
And predictions. So everybody stay tuned for that. Next week we'll do a full Big 12 preview. We'll have an update on Phil Forte's medical redshirt possibilities.
Ugh.
And the Longwood matchup. and talk about, of course, the other folks in the Big 12, but also talk about a big Montana game coming up this weekend. Hopefully we set the Guinness Book of World Records record for ugly Christmas sweater, whatever, in the same room.
Andrew, do you know what the Montana mascot is?
I knew at one point, the bison.
I think they're the Grizzlies.
Oh, you're right. I think it's
I'm looking it up as we speak. I think they're the Grizzlies. I don't know anything else about them. It looks like they're 3-5. I don't think it will be much of a game, but We shall see.
Well, I will say this about Montana. They gave Gonzaga a game in Spokane or in Gonzaga at the kennel. Then again, they turned around the next couple of days and lost to Washington by like 30. So who knows? They did beat Boise State earlier in the year, but I don't think Boise State's anything this year.
Yeah, you're right. It was 58-61 at Gonzaga. So very interesting. But yeah, you're right. They lost by 30. So that's pretty brutal. And Washington is good, but not great. Actually, they're just okay. And then, Andrew, we got a big matchup at San Diego State. What do you think of that matchup coming up?
You know, that's our last road test in the non-con. Lost to them 2 years ago. That's our last loss at Allen Fieldhouse on a snowy, icy, just terrible day. Lost at the buzzer. Very dispiriting, that game. But I think that we learned a lot from that game. It'll be good to go back in and get a revenge, even though there was only a handful of guys on the team. You know, it's going to be a defensive matchup with them. Like, they're going to be able to play defense. They're going to keep you from scoring. If you can keep your offense up against them and not let them go off with three-pointers and go off in different ways, because they're not a great offensive team, then you'll be just fine. But, you know, going cross-country, playing at a weird time, I think we're going to play 10 p.m. Central Time, which is, you know, what people stay up late, but, you know, just different. It's always going to be weird. So it'll be our last test before the Big 12, and I think a good test.
So they've played one Big 12 team already this year. They played at West Virginia and got stomped by 22. They've also lost to Arkansas Little Rock this year. And they lost to Utah at Utah 81-76, which isn't a bad loss. Utah's okay. And then also lost to San Diego. So San Diego State game, they lost to San Diego proper. So I don't think they will have quite the horses that they've had in the past. I think they're 7-4.
Why Leonard's not coming through that door?
No, not so much. But, you know, it'll be tough. They'll obviously be fired up. They have a really good home court advantage there at San Diego State. So we'll see how that shakes out. Hopefully the Jayhawks can come in and get a good win leading into the Big 12 season. Andrew, do you have anything else before we get out of here?
I don't. I just want to say get those things, including the red-headed vinyl for your Jayhawk loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be back next week to talk a little bit more about the Big 12 and closing up the non-con.
Watch for that that GoFundMe out there for Bill Self. You know, the man needs a watch. He's got to be on time. He's got to add up all those minutes for Diallo and for Brandon Green. Get them on the court. Maybe set a little timer, set a little, like, beep, 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 beep. 3 minutes into the game, then you check Brandon in.
I like it.
So let's figure out a watch that can do that. But anyway, we'll get out of here. Thank you so much for listening, as always. We'll catch you next time on the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. Rock Jock.
I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans.
Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that
that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering, nine times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild, night before the final four, you can't even sleep now, yeah we at the peak now, we can't even leap down, March Madness man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.